God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Oh, glory. Ezekiel 37:7. Stand with me. I'll read you a few verses of scripture. Let you be seated. Very familiar passage of scripture. I want to draw something out of this scripture that I've never really taught or preached before or heard preached. Ezekiel 37:7. So I prophesied. Ezekiel's at the valley of dry bones. I prophesied as I was commanded. I didn't necessarily believe it, but I did what I was told. And as I prophesied, as they heard the word of the Lord, there was a noise. Thank God for the noise. There was a noise. Then behold, a shaking, and the bones came together. Not just a hip bone to an ankle bone or a skull bone to a toe bone, but it was a bone to his bone. They came in proper relationship. Then he said unto me, verse 11, then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, I say, our bones, they say, they've been saying, our bones are dried. Our hope is lost. Let me tell you, if you don't have bones, you don't have hope. Our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Israel was divided at this time. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. I'm going to open the cemetery doors where you thought it was dead and gone and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Somebody this morning needs to come up out of their grave. Come up out of that lost hope, that dead feeling. Come up out of that hopeless situation. And I'm going to bring you to that land of promise. I want to really focus on that first verse. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. I want to talk about a call to regroup. A call to regroup. Lord, I'm thankful for your mercies. I'm thankful for the truth. Those two things will be here forever, your mercy and your truth. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you've shed your blood that we might have it as an atonement for our sins today. Help us to open up our heart and apply it, as the song said, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated if you're visiting with us today. I really, really, really thank you for coming. And I thank all of you that are regular, because visitors sometimes don't come back, but regular should. That's why they call them regulars. They keep coming back. Amen. A group, a call to regroup. A group is any two, three animals or things that you can collectively put together into one unit that have basically the same cause or the same purpose. Jesus classified a group. He said, where two or three come together, they formed a group. And he said, wherever there's a group, I'm in the midst. They come together. If that group, me and you, agree on any one thing. Two people agree on one thing. They can have what they ask, as long as it's in the will of God. Because he said, I am in the midst. Ooh. From the foundation of the earth, God was focused on grouping things. The power of grouping. Jesus, God, saw the benefit of grouping things all the way in the very beginning of creation. And everything God made, if you'll notice, the Bible says, and he made it after its own kind. So that after he made it after its own kind, it would seek out its own kind. Not only have more of the same kind, but they would dwell with their own kind. There's all kinds of people. Last time I checked, crooks hang out with crooks. Cursers hang out with cursers. Gossipers hang out with gossipers. They form groups because they feel the power of that group. But Christians are to come together for the same purpose and the same cause as well and form a group. And so when you form this grouping, when he made things, you didn't see ducks walking around following sheep. They fly. And they fly with their own kind. Mallards fly with mallards. Wood ducks fly with wood ducks. That's how specific the group becomes. Just because they're a duck don't mean they want to associate with the other duck. Just because you're a people don't mean you need to associate with everybody. Ooh, I'm going to preach this morning. Everything God formed, he wanted it, that anything that was like-minded, he wanted them to group together. And so after God formed everything, he looked back at his work, at all the groups, and everything was after its own kind. And it was groups of cattle and groups of sheep and groups of everything, but there was no group of man. And for the first time, while God looked, he had been saying, it is good, it is good, it is good, and all things were good. He backed up and said, it's not good that man not have a group. It's not good that he be alone. I've got to group him. And so out of Adam's side, he formed a group. And they were in agreement. So much agreement, they both ate of the forbidden fruit. But out of Adam's side, a womb was formed so that out comes the womb man or the woman. When he looked at her, he said, behold, the woman. And she is bone of my bones, and she's flesh of my flesh. And they formed a group we call a family. Hallelujah. A family. Now, I really hate to tell you, but the family was great till sin came in. And then sin made a dysfunctional family, so that the very first family didn't even get to die without dysfunction. And then that dysfunction went on to their children, where one slays the other one, the next two boys, one kills the other one. And so what happens is that sin enters in and it destroys the group. It destroys the group. It's amazing through the years I've hunted for many, many years. And in hunting things, you'll notice, if you ever hunted quail, for example, they're in a covey. They're a flock of quail, and the bird dog points, you know, and you jump them up, and there's like 10 in there, and it's boom, 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 and you get one, you know. But they scatter 10 different ways. They scatter. One goes this way, one goes that way, one goes up there, all over the place. But what I want to teach you is this. Before the sun sets, and you hear these little noises that they don't normally make. It's not. They're not making that Bob White sound. And they're calling, oh God, this is good. The group together. No more playing games. No more. We got to get our family back together. We got to get the group back together. And they begin to make these little sounds, these little noises that they call. There's a sound, my brothers and sisters, of regrouping. We've got to regroup. Though we've been busted at, though we've been shot at, though somebody's trying to kill us, we cannot let the circle be broken, as one man said. Hallelujah. I've watched mama deers. I've been in blinds before, and here comes a doe and two little ones, and she's always looking, trying to protect them. And if she sees something or they see something, they'll go three different directions sometimes. But it is not but a few minutes. And most people have not even noticed this doe will do this. She'll go, eek, eek, just like that. That's the only time you'll ever hear that doe do that, because it's a call to regroup. It's a call to pull. Though someone is after us, and we cannot stop the fight for survival and for life. I wish that we would take some lessons this morning from regrouping and the animal kingdom and nature, how it regroups again, because there is a desire to have a fresh start. Oh, God, he wants to bring you out of your grave, my God, to give you a fresh start. You ever heard of the old saying, I need a new lease on life? Hallelujah. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, but I want to tell you, it's time to come out of the grave. It's time to pull the family together. It's time to pull the unit together. And remember, there is a cause. There is a purpose of why we were brought together in the first place. When you look at Joshua, mighty man, you remember Joshua was one of those spies that went and Caleb. They spied out the land. You remember they went across to see what the land would be. Whether it be, we talked about this just recently, whether it be fat or lean or prosperous or not prosperous, whether it be wood there or not wood. So they could kind of get an idea about the place they're going and how to take it. And of course, they all came back with an evil report, but Caleb and Joshua. Now Moses is dead and Joshua is leading a new group. See, Joshua was part of the old group that came across the Red Sea. But they were turned back because of the bad reports that they believed in. If you want to believe the bad report, you too will be turned back. Amen. But the ones that believed in the good report, which was the two that had it, they go on. And he's going over now Jordan River with a new group of people. The old group died off. And now he's got this new group of people. And you would think that nothing could stop them. I mean, this is the mighty Joshua who goes up on the mountain and Moses gets the word of the Lord and they're scared and they quake and, oh, the fire and the smoke. And you would think nothing could stop him. He's such a warrior. But I want to show you something here. Because when they came over Jordan River, the first city they encountered was Jericho. The big, mighty city with the great walls. And the Lord told them, you're not going to take this with sword or with spear. You're going to group. We're going to group. We're going to do it as a group. And we're all going to march around. I love it when the pastor says, and I had never done this, but I remember the old days, a victory march. How many of y'all remember victory march? You don't dare stay in your pew because everybody marches by and go, you might as well get out of your pew and just, because we're going to do this as a, say it, a group. There's times in my family, one didn't want to go to one place, one wanted to the other. Well, I don't care. We're going to do this as a group. Because there's nothing worse than bringing some sour apple that don't want to be part of the group. You might as well get with the program. And so, they're going to march around this wall as a group, and they're not even going to say a word. That was the good part. But inside of those walls were people that were so scared, and they were so fearful because they had heard how that Moses had crossed the Red Sea. They had heard how the Jordan River was dried up and they had crossed over the Jordan River. And the Bible says, Rahab the harlot said, that our hearts did melt within us, for we heard about you. That whole group was scared. And so they conquer this great city and the walls come falling down as a group. And it looks like nothing, Brother Valentine, could stop them. I mean, Jericho was like the biggest enemy, was the first enemy. The next enemy was the little city, and it was spelled real small too, Ai. Ai, that was the name of the city. And so Joshua, now this mighty man who is now the leader, he too will send out spies to see what the land is like. Watch, let's pick this up at Joshua 7 and 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethel, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. That's what they did when Moses told them that. And the men went up and viewed Ai. Wasn't much to view, but they went and viewed it. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, we don't need to group for this. We just need a small group. We don't, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 to 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people labor thither, for they are but few. We don't need to group for this. And so there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. Now you do the math on that. 36 out of 3,000, isn't that many men? But they were running. And they chased them. Ooh, they chased them from before the gate even to Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore, look, the hearts of the people melted. And became as water. look whose heart melted now. Oh, I've got to preach this for a little while, because it's a terrible thing to have a melted heart. A melted heart. A melted heart, if you look it up, a melted heart is when your emotions are weak and you can't even control your emotions. That's a melted heart. I'm crying. I don't even know why I'm crying. I'm angry and I don't even know why I'm angry. I'm running and I don't even know why I'm running. I'm upset and I don't even know why I'm upset. It's because your heart is melted. A melted heart affects everything. Your relationship with people. I don't know why they don't speak to me. I don't know why they don't like me. It's because your heart is melted. Whew. A sign of a melted heart. I want to give up. I quit. I'm never going to do this again. That's a sign of a melted heart. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, give up, give up. O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God," I hate to read this because he's been such a great leader. "Would to God we had been content to dwell on the other side of Jordan." Would to God. See, the old group wanted to go back to Egypt. He's saying, let's go back to the wilderness. Why is it people always want to go back? When their heart gets melted, you always want to go back to what you're comfortable with. And the Lord said to Joshua, we got to regroup. And that's what I'm trying to preach to somebody today. Oh, no, we're not giving up. Up, he said, sanctify the people. And say, sanctify yourself against tomorrow, not next week, not next year. Let me tell you, when you decide to get up, it's like that. You talk to people that had a life-changing event, they'll always tell you, one day it came to me. I just decided, blah, blah, blah. It's like that. These people that want to test the water before they jump in the swimming pool, they never get in. They never get in. But the guy who jumps in, he don't have a choice. He's already in. And while you're over there, I don't know, he's like warmed up. Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. There's some problems is the reason that you don't win. O Israel, that thou canst not stand before thy enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. You've got to regroup. You've got to rethink. You've got to sanctify yourself. That means to set yourself aside as being holy or to be used of God. Don't quit. Regroup. Regroup. Rethink. Where did we go wrong? Oh, there's sin in the camp. And so they had to reorganize so that they could go forward. Quitting, say this with me, somebody, everybody. Quitting is not an option. There you go, you know it. Quitting is not an option, Joshua. We didn't get over here and cross a Red Sea and a Jordan River and conquer Jericho to quit at Ai. Quitting is not an option. Regrouping is. Woo! Hallelujah. You just might want to talk to David. David did a lot of wrong things, but that man knew how to regroup. He knew how to regroup. He would wash his face after the death of that child and said, let's go to the house of the Lord. And he went home and comforted Bathsheba. He knew how to regroup. Wash me, O Lord. Cleanse me. Make me white as snow. He would regroup. There he sat one day and 600 men that he had in a group thought to stone him. And he said, Lord, where's my group? They were thinking of stoning him because of all the blunders he did. He was out going to fight King Saul when he got sent back to the city of Ziklag only to find it on fire and all their wives and their children are gone. I'd be mad too. I'll tell you what, David knew how to regroup. He sat down and he said, Lord, bring me that ephod. I got to pray about this thing. Lord, should I go or should I quit? Should I go or should I quit? Is there an anointing or is there not an anointing? Did you call me to be king or you didn't call me to be king? Because I'm not king yet. And the Lord said, quitting's not an option. No matter how bad it looks, no matter if you did wrong, hear me. You're looking at one preacher. I don't care if you did wrong. If you want to do right, I'm for you. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm here to lift you up and help you get right. Hallelujah. Y'all know that. I'm not here to curse you and condemn you and say, well, you should. I'm here to lift you up. Because quitting is not an option. And David went on and he collected his thoughts. He was scattered in so many directions. And he picked up the pieces of his life. And he went on. Here we find Ezekiel down at the Valley of Dry Bones. And they were very dry, the Bible says. And they were scattered. But let me tell you, there were bones all over that place. It was a heap of bones. But he said, inside of that heap of bones is the whole house of Israel. And I'm here to tell somebody, though your life is scattered and you're fragmented, inside of you is your whole life. You are a whole life. If you die tomorrow, that's your whole life. And some of you have a scattered, a fragmented life, pieces here and pieces there, and different people, different places got pieces of your life. But when you put it all together, you got to make sense of the whole thing. I'm 58 years old. I went to school at Oak Park Elementary, thinking I'd never do anything. I was a straight C student. You hear me? Straight C's. My mama wouldn't want me to admit that, but that's the truth. And a D in handwriting and reading. And it got to me. Because I could see all these other kids, they could pass those tests and play football, and I wasn't. And all these things they could do, and I couldn't do it. That school got a piece of my life. It got a piece of my mentality into believing I couldn't do it. And then the Lord called my father to move to LeBlanc. And my dad went, and I was part of the group. I just went to the group. And when I got there, the first 6 weeks they passed out the report cards, I couldn't believe it, sister. I had made honor roll. It wasn't straight A's, but for me it was. I began to believe a little bit in myself. And I was fishing and hunting and doing those things. And I was enjoying life for those 4 years. And then I don't want to tell you all my story, but, you know, being dyslexic, you kind of read things backwards. To me, everything ought to be going this way, not that way. But every place I went, then I went back to Lake Charles. And they got another piece of my life at McNeese. And then I went to LSU and New Orleans, and they got a piece of my life. I went to DeQuincy. They got a piece of me over there. I came back here, and y'all are getting a piece of me here. But it's my whole life. You got to understand, that's the bones. Woo! Oak Park was a bone. Kinder was a bone. New Orleans was a bone. And the bones have got to come together so you can make sense of your whole life. Hallelujah. Can these bones live, Ezekiel? And he just said, Lord, I don't want to say no, because you're God, but thou knowest. Lord, you know. He said, in order for them to live, they have to come together. In order for you to make sense of your life, it's got to come together. So that when you get to the end, as Joseph did, it all came together. So that he could say, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Now I know why the pit was the pit and why I was in the pit. And I know why that lady said a lie on me and I didn't do what she said I did. I know why I went to the dungeon. I know why I had the dream. And all the bones were beginning to come together. So much so that he said, when I die, take my bones with you. because I want to go to the promises of God. And in the end, my folks, before you die, you've got to make sense of why you went through what you went through. Can your bones live? Thou knowest, Lord. But unless the bones come together, don't pray for the skin. See, don't pray for the muscles. Don't pray for the sinew. Unless there's bones that come together, unless you put these big things together, you will never have life. So he said, prophesy. So I prophesied. Prophesy upon these bones and say to these bones, O ye dry bones, hear. Let me tell you. I preached a sermon a long time ago called Everything Has Ears. God cursed a fig tree. Said, be dried up from the roots up. The next day they came, it was dried up. Everything. The whale had ears that swallowed Jonah. Everything's got ears. So he said, prophesy to these dead bones. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Faith, last time I checked, comes from what? Hearing, and hearing the word of the Lord. Let me tell you, you will always become what you hear. You become what you listen to. When I was in kinder, I talked like this. I talked like this because they talked like that. And if they talk like that, I might as well talk like that. Because that's all I knew. I was surrounded by this and that. You know, no? Okay, so I become whatever, and you will become whatever you surround yourself. Too many people have surround sound. Of the wrong sound. They go to work and it's this. They come home and it's this. And they come to church. They're church trouble. And they're surrounded by, they become trouble themselves. The Bible says that Lot vexed his own righteous soul with the conversation of the wicked. Didn't say he spoke ugly words. It said he listened to their conversation at the gate and it vexed his soul. You become what you listen to. Tell these bones, hear the word of the Lord. And let me tell you, as they get ready to come, there's no need to prophesy to the flesh. I'm telling you, you can fix your face up, put on your best clothes, fix your hair, whatever you want to do. But if you don't have bones, no need to pray, God, give me a facelift. Happen. What you need is the bones of your life to come together so that you can make sense of why this happened to you when you was a little child, why this happened to you when you was a teenager, why this happened to you when you got married, why this happened to you when I took that job. I thought you sent me to that job, God, and look at what happened to me at that job. You've got to put the bones together. Whew. So Ezekiel prophesied because these bones were saying we lost our hope. There's no hope for us. And that's what somebody is saying today. It looks hopeless. Ezekiel prophesied and he said, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will cause sinew to come upon you, flesh to come upon you, skin to come upon you, breath to come inside of you, and you will know that I am the Lord. You're going to know that before you die why you had a pit in your life and why there was a palace and why there was a dream, why there was an Oak Park and why there was a Kinder and why there was a New Orleans. You're going to know that. Because God doesn't want you to die and not make sense of your life. So I prophesied, my text scripture, I prophesied. I didn't necessarily believe it, but I prophesied. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. That noise came from heaven. As I prophesied, there was a call to regroup. God knows how to bring things back together. Did he not say in Luke chapter 4 when he told them, he said, he hath anointed me to bind up the what kind of hearted? the brokenhearted. Set at liberty them that are captive. Touch those that are bruised. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I heard a noise, and that noise caused the shaking. Hallelujah. And the bones came together to his bones. And I began to realize that Oak Park had something to do with Kinder. And Kinder had something to do with McNeese. And McNeese had something to do with LSU. And LSU had something to do with me making a doctor. And me making a doctor had something to do with me becoming a preacher. And me becoming a preacher had something to do with me being here today. And I go, oh, God. I can live now with what happened then because